Tonight on Blackhawks Live, a new season, different faces, and the drive to win.
Jones high slot, fires, Patson, rebound, score! Connor Bedard, Donato de Nazar over the blue line down the slot, he shoots, he scores! Frank Nazar on a breakaway!
Join Charlie Remiliotis as he dives into what's next for the Hawks. Here's Charlie.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Welcome to Blackhawks Live. Charlie Remiliotis here. Riding shotgun with me is Jack Heinrich. Is anything going on today, Jack, outside of our Blackhawks show?
I just thought it was hockey
yeah.
night.
Yeah, I figured take a little hour break from the election coverage. Now we'll get you back to it. But Hawks are coming off a pretty successful road trip. I think there were definitely stretches within those five games where they maybe weren't playing their best, but they come away from it picking up 6 out of a possible 10 points. And, you know, there were moments where I think of the Colorado game where they beat Colorado, then they lose to San Jose, and it was kind of a deflating loss. And you figured, okay, is this going to kind of seep into the rest of the trip? And they bounce back with impressive wins over LA and Anaheim. Let's get to the LA one, because I feel like that was the kind of the chaotic. They have 8 shots on goal total through the first 40 minutes of hockey, and they were down 2-0, and you figured, well, there's no way the Blackhawks are going to come back from this one, because they just had not been playing a great hockey game up to that point, and they somehow find a way to score 3 third period goals to force overtime, one in the final 30.3 seconds left in the game, and then they seal the deal in a shootout, going 3-for-3 in the shootout, Bedard, Teravainen, and Ryan Donato.
Yeah, I mean, That was the big thing for me. Like, this felt like one of those LA games where it's just like, here we go again.
Yeah.
Because like they just haven't played well there and against the Kings in general. But that was a big one. And for me, that just to jump ahead a little, that next game against Anaheim, for them to come back on the next day on a back-to-back and able to finish the job. I mean, they played pretty well in that one too. So like pretty complete. So something different for the Hawks in the last few years, getting a pretty successful road trip, and hopefully they can carry it going into the home, going home as well.
Yeah, we talked about how the San Jose loss kind of negated the big win in Colorado,
right?
Because it felt like, oh man, how do you beat such a good team like the Avalanche and you can't capitalize on it against a Sharks team that was winless in their first 9 games of the season and was still without prized rookie number 1 overall pick Macklin Celebrini. And so when they beat LA, you know, it was kind of the same script going into the Anaheim game. Like, you have to beat the Ducks in order for you to make the LA win feel good, because it's not, if the Blackhawks are going to keep going win, loss, right, and not stack together some wins, it's really challenging for the locker room to stay positive and try to feel like, okay, we're actually building some momentum here. Let's capitalize on it. And I think a big reason for the Sunday win in Anaheim was the special teams. They went 2-for-2 on the power play. They were about to be perfect on the penalty kill. They were 4-for-4 going into the final minute and a half of the game. And then the Anaheim Ducks scored with like 3 seconds left. So it was kind of like a garbage power play goal. So I don't know if you can really technically count it.
Right.
You know, prior to that game, the Hawks had given up a power play goal in 6 consecutive games, and so they give that up, and technically it's now 7 games, but that was an impressive performance by the penalty kill, and good to see the power play get back on track after they were 2-for-22 in their previous 7 games.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the big thing, I mean, for every team. I mean, if the power play is going well, you're going to play well, but the Hawks started out so good, and then they kind of lulled a little bit, and it was good to see that going, especially at the end of the road trip, because that was something that they were kind of surviving at the beginning of it, and they were able to get that win in Colorado, but they struggled on special team. So yeah, I mean, a lot of positive. I mean, last year on the road, I mean, it was just so brutal. I mean, we'll get more into that later, but just to see them have like a successful and above 500 road swing is big for a team that's trying to get out of the bottom of the NHL.
No question. And I even think of some, I know there were some poor starts in there, especially the LA.
Yeah, there were a few of them.
And even the first 10 minutes, I would say, of the Anaheim game, where I think the shots were like 13-3
yeah.
Anaheim. And I was like, oh, this is trending in a poor direction too. I look at the Dallas and San Jose losses, and the Blackhawks came unbelievably close just to tying it up late in the game. The Dallas one with Seth Jones, the shot from the point that was nearly going into the net, but Nick Foligno redirected it wide, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And then San Jose, I can't remember how many shot attempts the Blackhawks finished with in that game, but they were so close. Unfortunately, they did everything but score. So it was nice to see the hockey gods kind of reward them on the rest of the trip. All right, we got more to get to on Blackhawks Live, but first let's send it over to Mary with a traffic report. Welcome back to Blackhawks Live. Charlie Rommel-Yotis here in our downtown studio at WGN Radio. We put out a Hawks Click poll, something we like to do on this show to get the fans involved. And the question was, will the Blackhawks finish with more wins at home or on the road this season? And the reason we put it out there is because last year, the Blackhawks won only 7 times on the road and they won 16 games at home. This year, the Blackhawks have already played 9 road games, and they've won 4. Like, they're already halfway to their total from last season, and the Hawks have only played 4 games at home, so only 1 win. So he figured, okay, the road has a 3-game head start or a 3-win head start, but I wonder if it's going to be sustainable or if the Blackhawks are going to put together a fairly respectable home record again. So, Jack, I will throw it over to you. Home or road, where would the Blackhawks win more this year?
I went with the boring answer with home. Just think that they'll figure it out. But I think it's very positive for them on the road this year. I mean, last year was just frankly a disaster when they left home. Yeah. I'm going home, but I mean, the road will be better, but I still think they'll figure it out, and hopefully some of the stuff they did well, and maybe, like, you know, on the road, you kind of get a little more up for it because you know you're battling against, like, more than just the team on the ice, so maybe they can carry some of that over to the home side.
This is a hard question to answer because the road already has a 3-win head start, so it's almost like basically like a team is favored to win at home, and it's like, how do you give them the points or how many? So I tend to agree. I still think at home is where teams are more successful. It's hard to win on the road, and it's just a different environment. Sometimes fans are they can get on the goaltender a lot. I think I'm going to say home as well. And that seems to be the overwhelming responses by our fans. 71% say home, 29% say on the road. Although I will say this, in the playoffs, I kind of like when you're the team that starts on the road because no one's expecting you to win a game on the road. So there's more pressure on the home team to protect home ice in the first 2 games of the series. And it seems like more and more road teams are finding a way to steal a road win. So I will say once the playoffs roll around and home ice advantage becomes a huge deal, you kind of want that home ice advantage for like a game 7, because clearly, you know, that would be advantageous for the team that can play in front of their own crowd. But on the road in the regular season, the difference I've seen the Blackhawks this year compared to last year is feels like they're playing a little bit more simple, a little more simple game on the road. And Luke had mentioned it too. We aren't seeing as many of those quick strikes by the opponent this year on the road. So what say you? It feels like the Blackhawks have definitely looked like a better team on the road this year compared to last year, even just the performance wise, not just in the results.
Yeah, I agree. I mean they just, a lot went wrong for them. It seemed like they were just outmatched a lot. Just right off the bat, like they didn't have very good starts on the road, and the game would kind of just get away from them. And even if they would fight back, it just wasn't enough in that third period. So this year, like you said, even on this last road trip, they've started a little better. That Utah game, the first game of the year, they had a tough first period, but that whole road trip they played pretty well in this last one. So I think they're figuring it out, and I think that's more with the veterans that they have, and a second year with Connor Bedard as well. But yeah, I mean, it's, if you're really good, I think, and you play solid hockey, that's going to travel throughout the league.
The good news about the Blackhawks this year that I've seen that I didn't see much of last year was them finding ways to win even when they're not at their best. Feels like last year the Hawks really needed to be on their A game for them to be in any sort of game against an upper echelon team. And if they didn't have their A game, if they had more of their B or C game, it was just felt impossible for them to win a hockey game because they just did not have... One, they didn't have the the talent, the skill to match up with other teams, but two, their roster was so decimated last year because they, I mean, at one point we've mentioned this countless times, but at one point last year, the Hawks had more money tied up in injured reserve than they did on the actual active roster. There were like 9 players on injured reserve at one point last season. So it was
like one player a game getting hurt.
Yeah, I mean,
in January, whatever it was.
It was unbelievable luck. So the Hawks finding ways to win hockey games, even when they're not at their best, is still impressive. Like just thinking about the LA win, clearly, if you re-simulate that game, you play that game 10 times over again, LA's probably winning 8 times, right? But for the Blackhawks to just find a way to say, hey, we're clearly not playing great hockey through 40 minutes, let's still somehow find a way to claw back in the third period and force overtime and then end up getting the shootout win. And then I could probably say the same thing for the Anaheim game, where Anaheim had, I think it was like 54 scoring chances, which, by the way, seems like really high. Like, I didn't think it was that high watching the game. And so even facing a team like Anaheim, it didn't feel like the Blackhawks, it was a convincing win by Chicago. It was just, oh, they found a way to win a hockey game. And so from that standpoint, it's slowly showing a sign of maturity for these Blackhawks.
Yeah, that's what's different, is like they're maybe stealing a game when they wouldn't steal a game before. I mean, plenty of times the last 2 years they've been on the wrong end of somebody coming in and stealing a game. So that's a nice step to see from them, is just the LA game. Just it felt like a lot was going wrong. I mean, like, we're sitting here in the station during the game, we're just like, oh, it's classic, like they're in LA, and then they're able to come around and get that win. So that was impressive. And then for the shootout, them going 3-for-3, which was pretty big. So, and just, you're just kind of like, oh, like, those were some sick moves too.
Yeah.
So it was good to see.
Connor Bedard had one of those shootout goals. He was the first to convert, kind of pumped the brakes like Patrick Kane does and picked a spot. Speaking of Bedard, you can see the frustration a little bit growing in. He's on a 4-game goal drought. And even though he had 3 assists against Anaheim, he still feels like he's snake bitten in the goal column, and he wants to get off the schneid soon because you don't want him squeezing the stick. I'm really not concerned about him.
No.
He's such an elite goal scorer, and it's what he does best that over time, I think I would be more concerned if I was in Connor's shoes. I'd be more concerned if I wasn't getting chances, but he's still generating a lot of chances per game. And if he continues to generate those amount of chances, at some point, they are going to drop for him.
Yeah, I think in overtime, he hit a post or a crossbar. Just a great move to get in that 3-on-3 with more open ice. So, yeah, I mean, and he's still producing. Like, he still leads the team in points. He's getting a bunch of assists. So, but he's one of those goal scorers. He likes to see the puck go in the net. So, I think that's a good problem to have, where he's like, oh, I need to get scoring, even though he's still producing. So, I think that'll work well for the Hawks.
Yeah, and that's fair, too. I mean, it's easy to look at his goal totals and feel like, oh, he's not on track to, you know, flirt with the 30 or 35 or potentially 40 that we thought maybe he could flirt with this season. But at the same time, you look at his points per game and it's like, oh, he's still the Blackhawks leader in points and assists. He's averaging a point per game, or just under a point per game. And so no concern whatsoever for Connor Bedard and him producing. I wouldn't be surprised if he had a big night tomorrow in Detroit. We're going to get to them in a quick sec, but Detroit gives up a ton of shots, so I wouldn't be surprised if Connor breaks through tomorrow in the goal column. All right, we got more to get to on Blackhawks Live. Let's take another break. You're listening to 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, Charlie Romeliotis here. Typically in this segment, we have an interview to play. Unfortunately, I interviewed Ryan Donato after practice today, and it was a great conversation that unfortunately will never see the light of day because my device, I don't know what happened, and it didn't catch any of it. Ryan was very gracious. He wanted to do the interview. He was like, should we redo it? And I was like, it's okay. I don't want to waste any more of the time that I already have. But it was a really good conversation. One of the things he was talking about, the his goal production, and he extended his 5-game point streak. In that 5-game point streak, which he extended on Sunday against Anaheim, he has 5 goals and 2 assists over that span. He has 7 goals on the season, 6 goals in his last six games. And one of the one of the questions we've been asking him is what do you attribute this to? And you know, he says like his off season stuff, but he also shared a lot about how he's a man of faith, Christian. And so we had a really good conversation about that. And I wish I would have been able to play it on the air, but unfortunately we won't get that opportunity. But he's been absolutely terrific for the Blackhawks. I don't think really anyone expected this production from him. He's on pace for 51 goals this season. I started off my interview with him saying, are you going for the Rocket Richard trophy goals? And he laughed. He's like, there's no way I would hit that number. But for a guy that his previous career high in goals, or his current career high in goals, is 16, he already has 7 in 11 games. I mean, he's been awesome for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I look like the big hater saying he'd only get like 12 or something.
Yeah,
our
last poll question.
So no, I'm glad for him. He's a really good guy, and he's just really solid for this team, like a solid veteran. And I mean, if he was a couple games of the year, he was in and out of the lineup, and now he's kind of carved out a nice spot for himself. And he was on the top line during this road trip a little bit too. So yeah. Probably won't be a permanent thing, but he's played really well, and that's what you want to see around Bedard and others moving forward.
Yeah, Luke Richardson rewarded him by putting him on the top line against LA, and also I believe it was the first power play unit too. And man, did that pay off, because Donato was the guy that in the final minute of the LA game, he's the one that set up Tyler Bertuzzi with 30 seconds left, and then he was the third shooter in the shootout for the Blackhawks, and he converts. And so it was like Luke had said, we're basically just riding the hot hand. Like, we're just going to keep throwing him out there, give him more ice time, and you know, maybe until it wears off, and then you can put him more in the role that he's properly slotted in. But it's paid off for the Blackhawks. And then, you know, in Anaheim too, just picking up an assist to extend his point, or picking up the goal to extend his point streak. So he's been fantastic. Another guy I wanted to highlight was Arvid Soderblom. I mean, he had an unbelievable game against the Anaheim Ducks, and he saved, I know this sounds like weird and I can contextualize it in a little bit, but his goals saved above expected in that game was 3.67, which means he saved nearly 4 goals for the Blackhawks. And that's going to be one of the goaltending performances, not just for the Blackhawks, but of the entire NHL season. Now, I mean, that stat basically puts together the percentages of the quality of shots. And so if you take a shot from the point, it's probably like a 10% shot of going into the net, or a 5% shot, or whatever it is, versus if it's a shot from up front where it could be 50%. And so when you accumulate all of those scoring chances and shot attempts, it has this algorithm that just spits out, you know, whatever the goals expected should have been. So Arvid Soderblom's been fantastic. And now on the season, Jack, 88 saves on 95 shots for a save percentage of 926. I mean, that's an elite save percentage for a guy that was in the 880s last season. He had a tough year last year.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, he's taking advantage of the opportunity with Brassaw still working his way back. And I know a lot of fans were a little nervous, like, oh, like I thought he was going to be in Rockford, and like they're just so like, just because last year they just weren't very confident in him. But to Arvid's credit, he's really put his head down, and he's worked with the coaching staff, and he's gotten results in the game, which is really what he needed. Because last year, I mean, they kind of shied away from even playing him in that second half of the year, because his confidence was so bad, and they wanted him to work on that. And then him getting just 3 solid starts, and I mean, he went 1-1-1, but the numbers look really good. So if this is his last start and Brassaw's on his way back, or maybe he gets one more, he could take this maybe into Rockford, and hopefully he can keep building on it, because the Hawks are still looking for the future in goaltending. They have Mrazek for it's very encouraging, even if it is just 3 games, just considering how last year went.
For sure. All right, we got one more break to get to before we wrap up Blackhawks Live, but first let's hear about the traffic from Mary. Back here on Blackhawks Live, Charlie Romeliotis with my guy, Jack Heinrich. Got a fun day tomorrow. Patrick Kane's return to Chicago. We all know how part one went. And before we even get to the game, Kevin Powell and I are going to be at the Barn Hockey Bar near the United Center from 4:30 to 6:30 for a special live sports broadcast. We're going to take you right up to the pregame show starting at 6:30. I'll have that at from the United Center, followed by the call right here with John Weideman and Troy Murray on WGN Radio at 7. Our live broadcast at the Hockey Bar, the Barn Hockey Bar, it's a tongue twister, tomorrow, November 6th, is sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be, and by El Bandido Yankee Tequila. Break out the Bandido. Additional details at WGNradio.com/events. So I'm excited, Jack. Last year, it was an entire spectacle with Patrick Kane's return to the United Center, but it was also Chris Chelios' jersey retirement night. And in my opinion, that was probably a top three regular season game of all time in Blackhawks history, just given everything that went down. And then, of course, the finish.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like a playoff game, like when we were there. I mean, last year, I think we were out at the bar, at the barn for that, before that game. I mean, it was one of the, well, obviously with Chelios, was one of the biggest, like, highest attendance games of the year. I mean, you could just feel there's something different in the air about it. And then, the game was just a really good game. And, of course, Kaner had to steal the spotlight a little bit. I think Chelios was talking about that with you and Troy on that home opener. But, yeah, I mean, it'll be fun. I mean, it's still going to be weird to see him in that Red Wings jersey back at the UC. And it's more fun that it's earlier in the year. Last year we had to wait till, I think, February for it. So,
yeah,
it should be fun. The Hawks just had a 3-2 road trip. Hopefully they're playing a little better. Detroit's been a little up and down. So, should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and last year it was a chaotic day because the Blackhawks, I believe, had a morning skate. But it was the second of a back-to-back for the Red Wings.
Right.
So, Kane did his media availability, was it in the morning? I can't remember.
I think it was.
Yeah, and so he never really got a morning skate or whatever. It was just kind of, hey, Patrick Kane's back.
It was at the hotel, too, I think.
Yeah, it was at the hotel. Yeah. That was like, I remember going to the arena, and I was like, my brain's already fried, and this game hasn't even started yet. You know, just with everything that was going on. And so tomorrow, Kane's going to have a morning skate, maybe to be able to take it in a little bit more, see some of the training staff, the old coaches, former teammates. Maybe he'll be able to have conversations with them versus last year. It was kind of get in, get out, then got to roll out after the game because it was a, they had to travel back. So it should be a fun one. You know, as we were mentioning Detroit, I know we talked about it on the last Blackhawks Live, but they have not been a very good hockey team this year. The underlying numbers are the record is 5-1, but their underlying numbers are not great and a little concerning if you're a Red Wings fan thinking that they were going to take the next step this year and they just haven't been able to do that. So we'll see if the Blackhawks can take advantage of a potentially vulnerable Red Wings team tomorrow. All right, let's talk about, I'm going to wrap up the show by talking about the chase for the NHL goal record and Alex Ovechkin. It's something I've been doing those intermission score updates, and every time the Capitals play, it's like, Alex Ovechkin has another one. Alex Ovechkin scored another goal, and he has been. He's on a four-game goal streak, and he has five goals over those four games. Six goals in 11 games this season puts him on a 52-goal pace for this year, and he's 34 away from Wayne Gretzky's 894. So the question is, does he hit that number this season, or is it going to be next season? Because last year, his numbers, I think can't remember how many goals he scored last year. I think it was like 31. It was like a pretty precipitous drop-off from his previous totals. But this year, it feels like he can maybe get back to the 40, 45 range, and all he needs is 34 from here on out to hit it. So I'm going to throw it to you. Do you think he's going to break the record this year?
I think he will. I mean, it's just such a good start. And he got 800 at the UC when he needed that hat trick, which was another crazy game at the UC. I think he will. I mean, he's starting the year off well. Last year, like you said, just a little bit of a down year, but I think he will. I mean, he's one of the all-time greats, so I'm gonna put my I guess bet with him.
I tend to agree. I think he's gonna get it this year only because he's so capable of going on heaters like he is right now. So even if there's a stretch where his play trails off or he doesn't score for three or four games, he's capable of having a hat trick on any given night. And then it's like, oh, he's right back on track. And now his pace is still back on 50 or whatever it is. So I will say, like, I do think there is going to be some sort of regression. His shooting percentage right now is 19.4%, which is high. His career average is 12.9%. So I do think that Ovechkin's shooting percentage is going to dip a little bit to closer to his career. But I say he gets it to 34 goals. And I also think if they get late in the season, we're approaching March, and he's like, I don't know, like 7-8 away, it just feels like his teammates are just going to be feeding him to want to get it. So I almost feel like the opportunities are going to come. And then he's going to get empty net opportunities too, where if the Capitals are leading late in the game, put out number 8 on the ice because they want to see him get an empty netter and continue to add to that total.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so gifted, so talented, and even when he's still getting up there, it's still like, I mean, I was watching the highlight from like the other day and his shot's still so good. So yeah, I think he can do it. And like you said, like they're probably gonna be trying to feed him when he gets close, so yeah, he'll have plenty of opportunities.
It's funny, I was in Washington last year for the Blackhawks Capitals game, and I was watching Ovechkin, and I'm like, he just does not back check anymore. Like, he just doesn't really try, and he just stands there, and it's like he still somehow scores like 35 goals. He just, you like can't even defend him, even though you know what's coming, and he just stands there in the circle and somehow still scores. The unfortunate part about this is the NHL had the lockout in 2012-13. They missed, it was like 30 games, and then the COVID seasons too. One of them was like a 56 game season, and then obviously the COVID season, I think, ended 14 of the games, the original, like when COVID hit. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if none of that happens, Ovechkin's probably already the holder, you know. And so it's unfortunate too how many records might have gotten pushed on the back burner, or like even Sidney Crosby's stats, like, I wonder what he would be at if there were no lockouts or the COVID season didn't interrupt those seasons.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I mean, just 40 away and what that's like a bunch. I mean, yeah, he would be there if it wasn't for that stuff, and he stayed relatively healthy too. So, yeah, it's an interesting point and kind of crazy to think about that could be why he's not there yet.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, or I'm trying to look this up in real time, when the Blackhawks face the Capitals. So it's December 17th, they play at the United Center, and then their next game, yeah, their second one is on April 4th, which is in Washington. That could potentially be a game where Ovechkin is flirting with it.
Might be on watch for it. There you go.
Yeah, hopefully they don't do it against Chicago, but maybe, you know, maybe it might be a fun storyline to follow. All right, that's going to do it for Blackhawks Live. Thanks for hanging out with us. Got Blackhawks versus Red Wings tomorrow at 7 o'clock. We'll see you then at the United Center.